There are many health risks Americans face each year, but one in particular is rising at a rapid rate, obesity. According to the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, more than one-third of U.S. adults and 17% of kids are considered obese. This issue has led many organizations to fight against this rising tide. First Lady Michelle Obama is making childhood obesity her primary target as she attempts to lower rates among kids through her Let's Move campaign. The National Football League is also focusing on kids with their Play 60 program. Obesity also affects Americans' health in large ways. Hank Cardello is a senior fellow and director of the Obesity Solutions Initiative at the Hudson Institute. He says obesity affects all aspects of life.
Health-wise, of course, you have people who are much more prone to diabetes, heart disease, stroke, certain kind of cancers. And even in the workplace, you see a lot of absenteeism, loss of productivity. And the military is now chiming in and saying that they're having trouble recruiting people, so it's becoming a national defense problem. So multifaceted, very complex, very problematic, and persistent.
The rising problem also finds its way into the cost of health care. Margot Wu-Tan is Director of Nutrition Policy at the Center for Science and the Public Interest. She says obesity costs Americans billions of dollars each year.
Obesity causes heart disease, cancer, diabetes. Things like diabetes and heart disease usually can't be cured, so they affect people's lives for a long time and lead to very high health care costs. Altogether, obesity costs about $150 billion a year.
One idea for curbing obesity rates is government intervention. However, not everyone agrees with that idea. Scott DeFife is Executive Vice President for Policy and Government Affairs for the National Restaurant Association. DeFife believes non-governmental organizations can deal with this issue better than government regulation.
We're in contact with our customers every day. And as I often say to folks here in Washington, you know, the industry itself will make change much faster than any sort of regulatory requirement could impose change, because the restaurant industry in general is very responsive to its customer base. It's a tough business. It's a competitive business. It's a low-margin business. And if you're not being responsive to your customers' needs, you won't have as many customers down the road.
Recently, New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg brought the issue to a forefront by announcing a proposal to ban sugary drinks larger than 16 ounces. The announcement is being met with both applause and criticism. Wu-Tan believes this is a good move by Mayor Bloomberg.
We're suffering from extreme portion distortion. Mayor Bloomberg is just trying to help people see and experience what normal portions are. And what he's proposed is very reasonable. 16 ounces is actually considered two servings of soda.
Critics find the proposal as a misguided attempt to deal with the issue. DeFife sees this proposal as troubling.
This is a very troublesome idea that you could try to regulate human consumption or, you know, consumers, you know, consumption of beverages in one sector and try to call that or allude to the fact that you're making some sort of dent on the obesity problem.
Other skeptics view this as an ineffective model to curbing obesity. Cardello believes this ban would give little motivation to companies working towards a solution.
There's this mentality that we have to restrict business, and it's kind of a win-lose proposition. And I just think we're not doing the things that would motivate industry to, in essence, do our heavy lifting for us to improve the obesity crisis. It's either or. It's a one-size-fits-all strategy that, to me, is going to be ineffective.
The effects of the soda ban are yet to be seen on personal health and on companies' bottom lines. DeFife says customers will see changes if the proposed ban actually takes effect.
You are likely to see many restaurant stores decide that they don't want anything larger than a 16-ounce cup in their store at all, because the idea that you could get fined or penalized or you might get a hit on your letter grading in New York, and some of those factors are too big of a risk for a restaurant operation to take. They'll mitigate the risk by not serving anything in any sort of beverage container larger than 16 ounces.
One idea that offers solutions to both health and business problems is for more companies and restaurants to offer healthier choices. Cardello sees great success with improved food and drink offerings.
We've issued a report at the Hudson Institute called Better For You Foods, It's Just Good Business. And we've demonstrated that companies that are selling more Better For You products are actually enjoying higher profit margins and better returns to their shareholders and things like that. So there is money to be made here. That message needs to be spread, but it's not going to happen when you impose things like taxes.
Arguments continue over whose role it is to deal with the issue. Bhutan believes that everyone will need to chip in if Americans are ever to reduce obesity rates.
We all need to do our part in addressing obesity. Parents have a very important role to play. So do schools. Companies need to make and market healthier foods and stop marketing unhealthy foods to kids. The government has a role to play. So I don't think it's a matter of either or. You know, is this a matter of parental responsibility, or is it a matter of corporate responsibility, or is it a matter of government role to step in? We all need to do our part, and government needs to be a part of the solution.
This is Adam Albrecht of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily.